I never really meant for it to happen the way that it did. I just didn't see it coming. All I know was that it was so hard for me to keep a relationship. No matter how much of myself I yielded, no matter how much I gave, no matter how deeply I loved, it just never seemed like it was enough. And so I found myself marrying and trying to make the best of it because I didn't have the best upbringing. I didn't have a strong family background like maybe some of you have had, but my childhood was rough, and for the most part I was neglected. And so it opened a vulnerability in me to want to be loved. And then what was so sad about it is that I really didn't know what love was. I never experienced love as a child. I never knew what it felt like to be loved by my mother or my father. And so I had this, I don't know, maybe a fantasy of what love was. And so I entered into my first marriage trying to pursue this fantasy. And I just didn't know how to maintain it. And I didn't know what was real or what was unreal. And so that marriage dissolved. And then I met someone else and I married him, and everything went well for a while. And then we started having problems. And the next thing I know, I'm alone again. And so, you know, I stayed by myself for a little while, just trying to get myself together from those two marriages that I had that didn't work. And then I met someone else, and this person seemed a little different from the first two husbands that I had. This person seemed genuinely concerned about me, and he even offered to help me. And I just felt like I was at my lowest. I honestly didn't feel like I had anything to lose. So I said, you know what? What the heck? And I gave this guy, you know, a shot. And so we dated, and we made plans, and we married. And the same pattern. Everything went well. The honeymoon period of our marriage was wonderful. And then he left, and I just felt so awful. My self-esteem sunk so low that I wanted to be by myself. I didn't like being around people. And then the women, they looked at me with disdain. Many of them didn't want me around their husbands for fear that I would break up their marriages. Many of my friends abandoned me because they felt as if I had some marriage curse on my life, or that I could, you know, was a divorce waiting to happen. And so they abandoned me. And I had no one really to talk to. And then lo and behold, I met another guy. And so here I'm thinking to myself, okay, this, if it matures and progresses to a marriage, it's going to be number four. And I was so tired, you all. I needed someone. I wanted someone. I never had love, even with the three husbands that I had prior to that. I mean, they showed a little affection here and there, but toward the end of the marriage, what little affection they showed me was quickly erased like acid, like we had never fallen in love before, like we had never shared moments together. And so I was left more broken than I was when they found me. And so here I go, and I meet guy number four. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a fool at this point, but I just felt like there had to be more. It just can't be. This can't be my destiny. This can't be my lot in life. This just cannot be the way that my life is supposed to go. I want to be married. I want to have a family. I want to be that doting mother and that dedicated wife. But it just didn't seem to work. But this guy, he promised me that things would be okay. He assured me that, you know, those marriages in the past, it was not my fault. The guys weren't ready. They couldn't handle who I was. And he ministered to every emotional need, every void. He ministered. He always told me how beautiful I was. He commented and complimented me on the way I dressed, the way I wore my hair, the way I cooked. He loved the way I cleaned. And I was like, wow, I finally found somebody who sees me. I finally found someone who doesn't just view me as an object, but someone who really sees me. They see me, all of me. And I thought to myself, you know, this has to be it. Maybe, you know, three strikes and you're out. And maybe I had to get out to get back in. I don't know. But I just felt like I was safe with this guy. And then he was older. He was a little bit more experienced. And, you know, he had some resources. So I figured, you know what? Why not? You know? And so I did. I married my fourth husband. And things went well. For a while, we were together for a couple of years, and we had our bumpy roads and rocks and things like that, but overall, everything was okay until he fell out of love with me, and it broke my heart because I finally felt like, wow, this is it. I can finally exhale. I can breathe. I can be safe. I can take down my guard. I can let down my hair, and I can just trust love. I can trust what this is. And it just seemed like when I did that and I just fully committed myself, his heart turned so cold toward me, and he began to mistreat me. And it was just a horrible, horrible nightmare. And I started to realize within myself that, you know, maybe I'm just not cut out for this. You know, I'm looking around at my friends and my cousins and other relatives, and they're married, beautifully married. Their husbands are faithful, strong supporters, hardworking men. Their children are healthy, they're beautiful, and they're flourishing. And look at me. I just can't get it right. I just can't. I've tried it these four times, and I'm just missing the mark. And I just resolved within myself that, you know what? It's not for me. It's not for me. I'm just going to live. You know, I don't really know God like that. I talk to him because I've heard people mention this great God of Israel and the God of the Jews. But, you know, they mistreated us, and we weren't really considered, you know, first class people. And we weren't really allowed, even though we are relatives, we are related to the Jews, but we're a mixed breed. And so, you know, our race has been, I don't want to say polluted, but it's been contaminated. Maybe that's not a good word, but we have mixed blood in our bloodline. And so because we're not pure Hebrew descent, we don't have a pure Hebrew descent, we are not acknowledged for that Jewish side or Hebrew side of our culture. And so we're not allowed to worship with them. We're not allowed to learn from them. They just pretty much ignore us and act as if we don't exist. But I just feel sometimes, in spite of all of that, sometimes I just feel like the Hebrew God, the God of Israel, I feel like he's pulling me. It's really weird because I don't have anything to establish this on. I can't establish and I can't pinpoint how I know it's him, because I've never had that personal experience. I just feel it sometimes when I'm at my lowest, sometimes when I feel like I want to give up and just walk away and just say, girl, just quit it. Just stop. And when I feel like I'm at that point where I'm just about to lose it, I feel something come over me. It doesn't stay. You know, but it envelops me at that most critical time of my life, and it holds me and it embraces me, and it makes me feel so safe, and it makes me feel so assured that everything is going to be okay. And I don't tell people about it because, well, first of all, I don't have any friends. I mean, hey, my girlfriends left me after my second marriage. They were like, girl, you've got some kind of curse on you. And my husband said, you can't even come by my house. You know, something is wrong with you. You've got like this black widow thing where every guy you come in contact with takes off running and doesn't look back. So, I love you. I hope everything work out for you. But right now, you're just not good to be around my family. So, you know, and I heard that time and time again from my friends, from my family. And so I really didn't have anybody to share my feelings with, my hurts. And so a lot of them I just internalized. And maybe that's what kept driving me to find a man, to find someone who would validate me and say, hey, girl, you're not crazy. You know, those men just didn't know what they had. They didn't know, you know, your worth. And you know, they were intimidated by your beauty and your skill set or whatever. But I had nobody to share those feelings with. So sometimes I just talk to myself, kind of like I'm doing right now. I would just talk to myself. And I would feel like somebody's listening, but I just could never really put my finger on it. So anyway, I meet this guy, and I know you guys are like, oh my goodness, please, girl, please tell me that you're not about to do this again. And let me just say, you know, we didn't marry at first. We started living together. Because at this time I'm like, look, I've got four husbands, you know, on my list. And I just could not bear the weight of a fifth marriage ending in divorce, ending in a breakup. So, you know, this guy I met, and you know what? At this point, to be honest, I lowered my standards. And I feel so ashamed to tell you all this, but I stopped caring, you know? I kind of felt like everything that I looked for, I didn't get. So why should I expect him to come, you know, different? So I didn't. I didn't expect much, you guys. I mean, he was really just a warm body. Can I just be honest? He was just a warm body. He was just a guy, you know, somebody to take away my reproach, somebody to lay down with, somebody to cut the grass. He was just a guy. He wasn't one of those that you'd show your friends, like, hey, this is who I'm with. He wasn't that kind of guy. So we started living together, and we kind of called ourselves husband and wife, but we really weren't. To be honest, I kind of think he was still married because he had this aloofness about him. He could be very secretive sometimes, and then he would disappear, like, you know, days at a time. Sometimes he wouldn't come home at night. But again, you know what? I had been through this so many times. It didn't even bother me. I didn't argue because I felt like if I say something, it's going to drive him away. And I just didn't want to do that. So I didn't argue. He would be gone for days. He would ask me for money and I'd give him whatever little change that I had. I mean, I didn't have much, but you know, I did what I could do. But I truly felt like, yeah, he was somebody else's. And you know, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I didn't even care. Y'all, I was so broken. I was so hurt. I was just tired. I just needed somebody to help me forget how tired I was. And so, you know, and this guy, you know, we're kicking it or what have you. And so one day, I ran short of some water and was cleaning up and preparing for dinner. And let me tell you, I had gotten to the point of shame to where I just kind of rearranged my whole life. Like my whole time schedule was just off. I would do run my chores during the off times when everybody would either be at work or home. Then I would come out because I didn't want to talk to anybody. People were talking. I didn't have money to move or relocate. You know, then I've got to see my ex-husbands, four of them. I've got to see them with their new families and their new wife. And, you know, and I'm looking at how well they're treating her. But you treated me like crap. So it was just like I was always reintroduced to my pain. Like every day I was reintroduced to my failures. And so I just decided, you know what? I'll just go to the well and draw my water in the middle of the day. Because mostly folk would go early in the morning before the heat or late in the afternoon or the evening. And they would congregate and talk about life and plans and stuff. And you know what? I just didn't have much for conversation. I was just talked out. Can I just keep it real with you? I was talked out. And so I would go to the well around noon, high noon. I mean, it would be so hot. I'm telling you, I would sweat. I'm wearing this long dress. It's dusty. It's hot. And I'm dragging these buckets of water buckets rather to the well so I could fill them with water and drag them back home. And by the time I get home, I would be so exhausted, I'd use half the water in the bucket just trying to wash that dust off of me. But anyway, one day in particular, something very unusual happened. So I'm at this well. Well, I'm walking toward it, and I see this guy, and I'm like, oh no, you know, not another one. You know, I'm still dealing with number five, and he hasn't been home, and here's this other guy, and he's looking like he wants something, and I'm just, you know, I'm just not here for that. So I get to the well, and he asks me for something to drink, and I'm like, are you serious? And as I wanted to give him attitude so bad, and but something, when I looked at his eyes, there was something different. Now, this guy was tired. I could tell he didn't have much money. No one was with him. I mean, he looked as if he had barely made it to that well and was just sitting there waiting for me. I felt like he was, because nobody shows up at the well that time of day. So a part of me kind of felt like this is a familiar feeling. Remember I was telling you about when I would talk, you know, sometimes just talking out to myself and I felt like somebody was listening. I felt like somebody was there. I kind of had that same feeling at that well with this guy. Now, I know you guys are like, girl, please tell me this is not number six. No, I didn't feel that kind of vibe. I didn't feel like a romantic love. I felt like a father kind of thing, like a big brother. Like a protecting kind of love. It's so weird. It wasn't Eros love. It was like a phileo. Like this was a brotherly. And then like an agape. Like he didn't even judge me. He didn't ask me, like, what are you doing here in the middle of the day? It was different. Like he actually cared. And so he and I began to talk a little bit. And I gave him water. And he kind of, you know, livened up and sort of resurrected. And all of a sudden, he started asking me about my husband. And I said, okay, here I go. This is why I don't come to the well, because people want to ask you to, you know, they want to be social. They want to talk about your family. And I got too much shame. I've got too much baggage. I don't want to talk about that. You know, every time I talk about it, I cry. I feel embarrassed. I want to run. And I just don't want to talk about it. But it felt different with this guy. I felt like he really wanted to know. But then I felt like he already knew. I know y'all think, this girl, she's crazy. But I'm telling you, it felt different. And so he said, you've had five husbands and the one that you have is not yours. And I looked at him and I was like, what? Excuse me? And so a part of me, I felt like a rage kind of light a fire in me that I wanted to just go off. But then there was another part of me that had to acknowledge the fact that this man doesn't know me from Adam. He's not from around here. He's not a Samaritan at all. He is a full Jew. So I can't even understand, number one, why he's here. Number two, why he's asking me for water. And number three, how he knows this. How does he know this about me? He tells me that the man that I'm with is not mine. That was a confirmation. I knew that man was cutting out on me. I knew he was up to no good. But anyway, I had to get past that and I had to focus. And this man talked to me. And it was the same feeling I had when I would feel like giving up. Even sometimes, and y'all, I was kind of ashamed to tell you this, but there would be times I wanted to take my life. I felt like I didn't know what love was. So why keep looking for something and you don't know what you're looking for? And this man told me the same thing. He said, you worship, but you don't know what you're worshiping. And I was like, wow, how do you know? He told me everything about my life. He told me things nobody knew. And I'm telling you, I just broke down and I just cried. I just cried because I feel like somebody finally understands me. Somebody finally gets it. And I felt safe for the first time in my life. And he loved on me, and I felt fathered. I even felt mothered, and I know that's weird. He was a man, but I felt mothered by a man. I felt fathered by a man. I felt compassion. It was so awesome. It was so beautiful. So by the time we ended our conversation, and we talked for so long, for so long. We talked from the noon till it was time for people to come out and congregate and get off work. And I was so encouraged. I felt like, I felt new. I felt vibrant. I felt renewed. I felt alive. I felt like I had been reborn. I felt rejuvenated, and I no longer felt ashamed. And so something welled up in me, like this power that I had never experienced before. And there came a boldness. I felt confident. I could hear myself speak. I could hear myself talk. And I wasn't ashamed of my own sound. I wasn't ashamed of my own voice. This conversation, this meeting with this man at the well, it bewildered me. And then I realized who he was. You're the Messiah. You're Jesus. You're the one everybody's been talking about. And I took off and I ran. Y'all, I left my buckets of water. I was dusty and it didn't even matter. I ran and I shouted to the top of my lungs, come and see a man who told me everything about my life. And the people were so shocked because they knew that I'm that one that doesn't speak. I'm that one who stays in the house. I'm the one who looks out the window. I don't even come out and sit on my porch. I'm that shame in person, in a personified. I don't talk to people. But that day, something grabbed a hold of me, and I ran, and I said, you got to come and see this man. You've got to. And I told them, I said, he talked to me. He healed me. He delivered me. He saved me. He changed me. And the people were so shocked. They said, I have got to see this for myself. And let me tell you, as I ran back to the well, I led the whole city back out to meet Jesus. And guess what, guys? That husband number five, I never saw him again. And I know you're wondering, well, did you ever find somebody? And the answer to that is yes. As a matter of fact, I did. And no, it wasn't husband number six. At that point, I realized that I needed Jesus, not just a man, but I needed to be made whole. And from there, I ministered and I evangelized and I used my life. I used my pain as my pulpit, and I brought many people to the kingdom of God.